Father, we bless you. Lord, we want to lift our voice with thanksgiving, with new expressions of praise and adoration, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, give us today, Lord, by your abounding care and love, give us help and build us in this time, in the truth, this day of worship, as the breeze blows, blow Holy Spirit upon us. Afresh, as Keith Green sang years ago, rushing wind, blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Renew us, Lord. Thank you that we can be together. It's a privilege. What a privilege to be gathered with the people of God, to be on our way to your kingdom by the grace of God with us, leading, guiding. So now, today is yours. Blessed be your holy name through Christ Jesus. Amen. I thought we might enjoy this theme today. Good to see some more ladies in here amongst these guys. That the book of Proverbs. Now, if you want to ask Brother Ron Pulaski, you could say, Philip said, I've never heard a man preach or teach as many times over the last 25 or 30 years as Brother Ron in Proverbs. He loves them. He lives them. He quotes them. So if we ask him twice this year to speak to us, he'd probably speak one of those out of the Proverbs. But they are wonderful. God's Word. And so we're going to look at this theme of wisdom, or the wise man, the wise believer, the one that's in the Lord and is walking in wisdom. Man or woman, brother or sister. That's the theme of Proverbs, right? Wisdom. Gain wisdom. Grow in wisdom. I had a guy years ago I worked with said, isn't Proverbs essentially a personification of the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately? Is it speaking of Him? And you could say that if all 66 books are ultimately the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Yes. But this thing of wisdom, this truth of wisdom, the Bible uses the word wisdom 222 times. It uses the word wise 257 times. So almost exactly, pretty close to 500 times, we have this theme. Proverbs has almost 20%, almost exactly. One out of five times wisdom or being wise is used in the Proverbs. So it's a theme that speaks to us about it means to walk with our God and our Savior and what He's doing in our lives. The wise one, man or woman, walks in these ways. So you would do well, like I've been trying to do these last couple of days, to go back through and just scan. Look at all the uses of the word wisdom, particularly in the book of Proverbs. There's over 100, well over 100 used in the book of Proverbs when you look at those two words. So it is a big and repetitive theme that speaks about living the Christian life. We're not just talking about collections of knowledge. You know, you may have an old algebra book. I'd look at it and you're thinking, I don't do anything with algebra book now. But in the thing of wisdom, it's living, it's reality of walking with the Lord, walking in wisdom. What does it ultimately center on? It's Christ. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2, verse 3, in Him. So to know the Lord Jesus Christ is to know wisdom. To know real truth and wisdom and understanding and to grow in that by knowing more of Him. So this theme of wisdom, I will fly through a lot of passages simply to organize our thinking on truths. Don't try to flip through the pages unless you're just really going to move quickly. Let me just speak them. I'll quote them and we'll enjoy them together. And then if you want to come back later, go back later and look at these, you can individually. I've got a few different translations I'm going to use these out of because I like some of the way it expressed. I have several that are out of the NASB that are speaking about this theme from that translation. Chapter 1, verse 2, after Solomon introduces himself as the writer, he says to know wisdom and instruction. He's basically saying, here I go on the theme of wisdom. And it's speaking as paternally, it's like a father to a son. We see that repetition, parent to a child. Listen to what I say, to know wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior. Again, setting forth what the theme will be. Chapter 4, verse 5, I love this one in the NASB. Acquire wisdom, exclamation mark. Acquire understanding. The King James says, get it. Go get it. As my basketball coach used to say, there's a loose ball on the floor, get that thing. Get down there and get that ball. Yeah, you might tear your knees up a little bit. But get down there, acquire, go after it. This has an emphasis of exertion and energy and effort. And to seek first the kingdom of God and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ takes initiative, it takes focus, it takes energy. And to acquire wisdom takes a willing and eager heart to go forward, to know Him. Chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. What does that mean, Tom? With all thy getting. I mean all that you have. Get wisdom. Store it up. Be wise unto the things of Christ and the things of God and living in this world. And it permeates all areas of life. You men that are in your vocation and your work, wisdom, knowing God, walking, it filters into how we view things, how we walk around other people. You get the point. So what does wisdom look like? If you get asked by someone, well, what is wisdom? Somebody might say, my uncle, he was a man of wisdom. Okay, tell me what that means. What kind of person is characterized or is known by the fruit, the virtue, the truth of wisdom in their life? Well, let me start with what it's not. Y'all would add to this list. We can certainly say that wisdom is not just trying to get educational credentials or attainment. You probably know people that are highly educated, multiple degrees. Josh, I could probably pull him aside. Tell me some PhD men in this community, in this town, that have their understanding of their field but are lacking in any wisdom because they don't know the one great true God and Savior. So it's not about education. It doesn't matter how many certificates and diplomas somebody has on the wall. They could be smart in this world and absolutely unwise in the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. So wisdom is not that. Wisdom is not business savvy. It's not being better in business or you know how to outmaneuver in the free market. And that's, why do I say that? Because it comes across at times as though that's the real understanding that people need. Not according to God. So it's not that. Wisdom is not scientific understanding or breakthroughs. Medical advancements. Ah, we understand this, so now we have wisdom about all things. No, typically the advancement of things only makes men become more arrogant and ultimately more blind because they put their confidence in their own thinking. So it's not about science and breakthroughs. And wisdom is not technological advancements. It's not being able to use tools and have things that give you advantage or a greater sense of what's happening. It's not that. That's not wisdom, not according to God's word, what He has defined, what wisdom is. I think probably all of you by now are thinking, what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Solomon says more than once in this book, that when he's focusing on wisdom, because he was that man that had wisdom from God, it was given to him, he begins by saying that the foundation, when you pour the slab, when you drive the piers, whatever you want to call it, the foundation, the reality of it is the fear of God, the acknowledgement and the worship of the one great God who is. That is the beginning of wisdom, which is why professors and medical geniuses per se can be men with no wisdom. They don't know God. You have to know God to have wisdom. That's not an arrogant statement. That's what God says. You have to fear the Lord. So, what a blessed theme and truth for us that we need. We try to train our children in the ways of wisdom, but we point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and to fear the Lord and walk in His ways. That is wisdom that comes from God. So today I would like for us to think about this theme or the characteristics of wisdom in the life of God's people in seven areas. There's nothing definitive about my seven. You could take five, or you could create 13, but I want to organize some thinking about this theme of wisdom, what it means to walk in wisdom, what do we see in the lives of Christians. You'll probably, as we go through these, you'll think about other brothers or sisters in our assembly, or brethren you know in other places that come to the conference, preachers you love to listen to, men of God, women of God. Seven characteristics that mark the wise man or the wise woman. Where's that brother of yours? I'd like him right there right now. Wouldn't you, Mom? He has to walk with God where he is. Characteristic number one, the wise man is teachable. I used to love Paul Washer on cassette when we were first learning about Paul 15, 20 years ago. When he would speak to those college students and all, and Jeff would get the latest tapes, and I'd drive around listening to Paul, and eventually they were on CD. Okay, I'm catching up to you. And we would listen, and he would talk to those young men, and one of his themes to them, and he wasn't being hard on them, he was being sincere. He would say, young men, sit and learn, be taught, sit there, sponge it up, learn, be instructed. He was saying, have a teachable heart. A wise man, woman, is teachable. There is no age restriction on this. If I said to Brother Michael, just getting to see him drive up was quite a fun to see him again. But if I said, Brother, in the last 30 days since I haven't seen you, tell me areas you feel like God has built you, grown you in your understanding, wisdom. We ought to be able to communicate or express that to others, that it is that real. I'm learning today. Every one of you that are in Christ, you're learning today. You need to be teachable. It's a fundamental quality or virtue about those who ultimately walk in wisdom. A wise man does not think he knows it all. He doesn't. When Conrad would sit at those lunch tables at the Bentley camp, would sit around and he'd listen. And he'd listen to other men that he loved and admired, men younger than him, but men that he knew had the Holy Spirit and walked with God. And sometimes you could sense he was hearing something and he was being helped by. And it might just open up a thought or two he would have about it. But a wise man does not think he knows it all. Quite the contrary. A wise man or a wise woman is open to being taught. What do you think on this? There's a young man or a guy at our office that's walking through the book of Ephesians right now. And he's just taking it in blocks. And I'm just sitting under his labors, and he'll bring out points that I'll go, that is wonderful. And he'll put it in phrases, or he'll go back to look at the end of chapter one, and I'll look at him and smile. Well, the point being, you and I have to be receptive. We have to have a heart that's ready to be taught. It's ultimately the Holy Spirit in any of us. That's who's teaching us. He's the one. Chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. They will keep their ears open, and they will be receptive. They're increasing. That's what marks them. They hear it and they increase. They hear it and they take it in. A wise man is teachable. Chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. He'll grow. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. Isn't that something? It's amazing. Some of those dear men like Jeff Thomas, Ian Hamilton a few years ago, when they've come and they're with us, and of course we look up to them, we admire them, we admire who they are in the Lord and their labor and their faithfulness. But oftentimes, before they leave, if they're sharing or you get to have one-on-one time, they express things that they received of the Lord while they were here. They were being taught, instructed in the assembly of God's people and in the one-on-one friendships and conversations. You see how wonderful that is? I sometimes would think, well, what would I have to offer to Dr. Joel Beakey? Whatever the Lord has me to offer to him. I don't have to plan anything. He's teachable. He's teachable. He's a teacher. Yes, he is. But he no telling during the week when he's at different places what he's hearing and being taught, because he's receptive to the Holy Spirit's leading and teaching. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Oh, yeah. That's the way the fool says it. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. A wise man. There it is. The theme, the motive that he has is to hear, is to be receptive and to be taught. Obviously, when I say young man, young woman, I'm speaking of anybody, Leslie or Claire, anybody in the Lord is to be always being open to being teachable. Brothers, men, we get that masculinity going at times where we say, yeah, nobody's going to tell me anything. You may not say it that way, but sometimes we think that, and we need to get rid of that. We don't need that spirit at all. We need to say, I want to be taught of God. My 10-year-old grandson the other day was saying things to his mother, my daughter, and we were sitting and we were talking, and little sis, we're just praying that she'll start putting on weight and just asking the Lord for mercy. And the 10-year-old boy starts speaking things, and I'm looking at him thinking, wow. And I definitely think he's in Christ, but there was things he was expressing just as a boy that were helping me. You understand? To be receptive out of the mouth of babes, right? David said, God's made me wiser than all my instructors. I think that's how he says it. I don't know exactly the phrase. Brother Michael could probably quote it. But he's made me wiser than all of my teachers. And David was not boasting in that. He was just simply saying, God's doing this in me. One other verse, 21 verse 11. When the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. He receives it. He takes it in. He's receptive. He or she, they receive it. They're teachable. They're pliable. They are being ever the more built up, shaped, formed. So first, beloved saints, a wise man, the wise person is teachable. And therefore, because they're teachable and receptive, they're growing in wisdom. They're not trying to measure it. They just grow in the Lord, and they grow in the wisdom that comes from God because they walk with Him and fear the Lord. They could simply be going through town and see something and be able to see it from the perspective of what God says, and they have a proper view of it, whatever that might be. Characteristic number two, the wise man walks honorably. These are in no certain order. I'm not emphasizing one priority over the other, just another point. The wise person, the wise man, because they're receiving the truth, they're walking in the truth, they walk in an honorable way. Wisdom is being implanted in them, and they're walking in wisdom, making decisions, speaking, interrelating with people, living this life in a way that walks with God, and therefore it has honor to it. Valor Zupke. Probably Ian, maybe Leslie knows who Valor is. But how many people know that man? Relatively not very many. Tom does, right? Tom would know him. But I used to hear Ian's dad years ago talk about Valor Zupke. I thought, I've got to know that guy. But he's a man who walks with the Lord and he walks honorably. It's just upon him. It's upon his life. This thing of living in a way that the truth frames or marks your life, that your life is being shaped and disciplined and lived out in the honor of God, because wisdom has been implanted. The library or the truths of wisdom in you are flowing out, and therefore it, to the people around you, it expresses honor, the glory of God. Proverbs 12, verse 8, a wise man shall be commended or known, recognized according to his wisdom. It's seen. My granddad, I think I mentioned to y'all, that my granddad was my first hero in the faith when I was a boy and a young teenager. Very quiet, gentle man in Arkansas. But he was known. You're thinking, how could he be known? He didn't do anything exceptional. But he just, the Lord was with him. And he had that mark because he walked according to wisdom. And so he's known. He's known or seen. We're not trying to promote self. That's not what this is about. We're trying to promote Christ Jesus, that he has rescued us, brought us into his kingdom where his servants, joyful, willing, loving servants, but we walk in His ways, and therefore it's seen. He is known, the godly woman. The godly woman is known for honorable character. The godly one is known for the type of friends and people that they hang out with. I say hang out, you know what I mean? That they interact with, that they cherish, that they long for, that they grow with, that they share their lives with. The godly one is known. That's the kind of companions that they have. They're honorable. The wise will inherit honor. Proverbs 3:35. The wise will inherit their recipients. They're marked, or they have honor in their lives. And God gets the glory, right? It's all glory. How can sinners ever have that mark in their life? By a miracle of grace, new creations, the righteousness of Christ, the growth in the Holy Spirit, and God is seen as the only one that can do such a thing. That's exactly right. Now we're getting to the power of God and the gospel of His Son. How can you take dead men and make them live? God does that. He does it. So the wise will inherit honor. A man shall be commended or known according to his wisdom. And that one that I've kind of already made reference to, Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be, or King James, I think, shall be wise. You guys back there doing all that technology, walk with wise men. Section over here right, walk with those in wisdom. Section left, walk with those who walk in wisdom. Be instructed, be built up. Walk in the ways of those who you follow, that you cherish their lives or what they exemplify before you. Young people, spend your time with godly people. Let those be the ones that you give and receive from. Let the honors of God and the marks of God in their life influence you. Learn from them. There's a certain emulating or following that's right. It's not about jealousy. It's about learning from them. If I said, Michael, tell me three preachers who've shaped your life, he wouldn't hesitate. Who are they and why? How? Tell me. He could tell us. I could give him 5 minutes on each, and you could fill up 5 minutes on each. Because it is that real. They've shaped your life. They're shaping your preaching today. They do. The wise person walks in honor, and they walk with others who walk in an honorable way. Those kinds of individuals in our lives change our life. I mean, it changes the course. Young people go to college. Who will they be around? A man begins his career. Who's he going to be around? Who's he going to walk with? You get the point? You talk about that course plays itself out. Yes, it does. Walk with the Lord. Walk in His ways. Honor Him, and the honor of God will mark the life of His servant. Characteristic number 3. This is a little different from being just teachable. The wise man receives correction. Being teachable is a constant growing and expanding and knowing more of the Lord, knowing more of what His ways are, His truth in living the Christian life. But a wise person receives correction. This is big. You ladies can just, if you want to cover your ears for a minute, you can. This is really big for us. Receiving correction. Receiving instruction from others. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit, but the input in our lives. I've had times through the years where Mac will say something to me or call me. He said, brother, I just want to point something out. What do I do at that point? Mac, I got a business meeting. No. You see, we're sharpening one another. We're helping one another. A wise person receives. They receive it because it's refining us as gold, right? It's refining us. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the grace of God in our life. You think guys like Brother Saeed have ever had somebody speak correction into his life? He would probably smile that real gentle smile and nod often. Does a wife speak a word into her husband, not even trying to in any way dishonor him, but speak a word that he's helped, he's correct? Yes. Does a husband speak that? Yes. Do we speak that to each other? Yes. We exhort one another and we admonish one another. We warn each other. Don't do that. Brothers, don't. You young guys that we have the privilege of being in your lives, I'm talking about the elders or other men that are older, when we get to speak to you men and you open up to us and we say something and we say it with a lot of earnestness, just receive it in love. What other motive would we have? We're not trying to tell you how you live your life. We just might say, oh, wait a minute, hang on that one. Be careful there. And so it's be marked by not just being teachable, but receiving correction. A wise man doesn't cast off correction from others. He knows it helps him see his own faults, and he becomes a better servant or a better child of God. The beautiful picture, maybe Tom would be the only one that might remember it, when Jesse McDonald was still living, and it's probably the late 80s, and he was here with the Denton Church. That was that church back in those days, and he told the story about traveling with Dr. W.A. Criswell, who had pastored at First Baptist Dallas. And when they were younger men and they were in Mexico, remember the story? They went into one of those craft places and just a random thing. And they went to the back room and the guy was stirring and moving this big vat heated on a fire and he was scraping things off and it was gold. He was an artisan. And here's Jesse McDonald and Dr. Criswell looking at this. And every few minutes he'd just scrape off the top. And they weren't sure, they weren't metal workers, and they said to him, what? Man could only speak Spanish. And he said, dross, dross. And Jesse McDonald told the story. He looked at Dr. Criswell with tears in his eyes. And they held each other and said, oh, Lord, take the dross off of us. Scrape that off of us. Lord, take it out of our lives. And so a wise man and a wise sister, woman in the faith, they need the help of others. They need the correction, the input. The loving input. Chapter 9, verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer lest he hate you. Look at the contrast. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. He will love you. That's not just kind of neutral. All right, Ian Leiter, you can say something to me every now and then. That's fine. You're going back to work. No. When somebody speaks truth and it helps you and it corrects you, whether they even really not ultimately know they're the one correcting you, God does it. Love them. Cherish them. Chapter 10, verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commands. Will receive commands, meaning instruction that changes them. That sets them on a path of the right way. And maybe take them off a path that they'd started on that was going to get them in a lot of trouble. One of the things I've enjoyed, and as I get to know you younger men and see your careers and what you're doing, sometimes I just want to hear where you are and where you're going and what the journey. And just from my angle, just say, here's where I think some of the danger zones are. As I've said to other men, I kind of understand what's going on in corporate America, generally speaking. I'm not an expert. I'm not writing magazines or writing books. I've seen enough. And I've seen it not just in work-related, but the clients and the city governments and all. And so that if I ever have something on my heart to share with you guys, it's because I've had to learn by the grace of God and learn from other men older than me where to navigate, what to stay away from, and what to be careful about. It's not a small thing. It's not small. These are decisions that we make. And most companies, almost without exception, have no interest in the glory of God in following Jesus Christ. So right there, you're already, in a sense, at a bit of a dilemma because your life is His. So you have to walk and you have to learn from others and you have to receive correction. And so one of the brothers might say to you, I think you shouldn't even partake in that kind of activity. Nick and I'll have some good conversations every now and then. But you're receiving instruction. You're getting input. We don't have to be dogmatic with each other. It's not about that. Just what else? What other motives should we have other than to keep each other? We're on the way to our great God, His kingdom. What else would a husband really ultimately want to do other than love his wife, cherish her, wash her with the word, right? To present her, as it says in Ephesians, to present her like Christ does His bride. So it's not an attitude of, I want to tell people what to do, or nobody's going to tell me what to do. It's not. It's being helped being helped. We go to a doctor to help us. Doctors who won't get to the real problem are not good doctors. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know if you got that internal bleeding and stuff. Let's just go another week or so. Just don't eat as much pizza, Joel. I wouldn't go back to that doctor, by the way. You need somebody who says, this is what's going on. You may not like it. But you know what I mean by that. Every now and then, Crystal will give me something new that I need to do to help my physical frame. And I'll look at her and smile and say, do you think that'll help me? Yeah, I do. Now we have a decision. You know, we laugh because you have those moments too. If you have your parents that are still alive, do you receive instruction? Do you hear from them? Do you want any input from them? Yes, God has all authorities. They're all His. So we receive, right? We receive correction. One more text, chapter 15, verse 31. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. I believe that's the NASB. Whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. That's really beautifully expressed. Life-giving reproof. Not trying to humiliate you, but life-giving, edifying, for your good, building you up. I'm so grateful that my dad was doing this when I was a boy. And he did it firmly. Helped me. It laid a principle in me that I've got to learn. My dad is teaching me and correcting me and warning me. He warns me. That's what the Apostle Paul said. You remember we were in Ephesians. Teaching every man and warning every man that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's a big statement. Teaching, warning, that we might present or bring you along perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. So third, the wise man, the wise woman receives correction. Fourth, the wise man esteems knowledge or understanding. Again, this is a different phrase than just being teachable. This is the wise man hungers or has an appetite for. He esteems. You have certain things you want to read about and learn about, and you have other things you don't. Sometimes I'd like to interrupt business meetings. Oh, all this stuff. You go to conferences like I talked about a few weeks ago, and there's all this nothing about God. And we understand when you're talking algebra, it's not like you're quoting commands when you're talking. You could include that or integrate that in a profitable way. But when you're around others and there's all this pursuit of learning and understanding, but nothing about the greater truths of why would we want to learn these things. And I just want to say, can I just quote a couple of verses to us? We have to be careful. We have to have the right spirit. But we should be marked by esteeming or loving knowledge, the knowledge of the Most Holy, the knowledge of Christ. If the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ Jesus, then He's the one we want to learn those from. We go to the source. We go to the source. We go to the fountain of living water. We go to the bread of life. We go to the Shepherd of shepherds, the King of kings. We go to the one that walks perfectly, who lives and ever intercedes for us, right? We go to Him, but we hunger for it. You yearn for more. Sometimes when a man will finish preaching or you're sitting on the truth, wherever that might be, and you just want to sit there because you want more. Every now and then, years ago, I'd finish, Bob Jennings would finish preaching or something. I thought, Bob, go get a drink of water and I want you to go again. I need more. I didn't want him to get to the end. When Jeff was a single man, he'd be grinning. And some of his friends, and we'd go to those camps, and I mean Jeff is down there on maybe the second row. And he didn't want it to end. He wanted Don Johnson. And then we met Brother Michael, 12 years ago, or whatever it's been, 14. And all of a sudden, it's just like a floodgate. It's coming. You're ready for more. It's like it gets everything back in its proper perspective. The truths of God. You esteem it. When I read early in the morning, before, you know, daily activities and works, when I read sometimes a verse or a portion or something in the Gospels, it's so alive, it's like it sets the day. It's set the theme of the day. You know what I'm saying. You have those same moments daily, weekly. So a wise man yearns to grow in Christ Jesus and to know more. Not for knowledge's sake. Knowledge puffs up, right? It's not just about knowledge. I get this big theological head that walks around. Everybody goes, watch out for him. We chuckle, but it's true. We used to say that in basketball. That guy's got the big head. Well, theologians get the big head. Be careful. Our knowledge is shaping our lives. It's not just so we can go spout knowledge. It's so we can know him. And knowing more of him, the more we go down, the more we just yield to him. John the Baptist, the greatest born among women, the greatest prophet, I must decrease and he must increase. What a statement. It'd be good probably for every theological school to have that etched in cast stone on the side of their buildings. I must decrease, he must increase. Because it's not about knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's about knowing him and walking humbly with our God. And so a wise man and a wise woman longs for that. It's an inward thing. In a sense, it's an appetite or a longing that can't ever fully be fed. It can't fully be satisfied. Chapter 10, verse 14. Wise men store up knowledge. Wise men store up knowledge. Can I come look at everybody's pantry this week? I don't really want it. Michaela, do we want them to look in ours? Every now and then we get that thing really shaped up. But then just living and stuff. And so where am I going? What do you have stored up? You know, sometimes if a visitor was to come into your house or have to, and they see things, and what's stored up? You see the picture I'm giving here? What's stored up? You know, do they look at your books? They're like, whoa. As Pete Maravich said that time, are all these books about God? For those who don't know Pete Maravich, he was a very, very good basketball player, but he didn't know God, and then God rescued him. Went to that man's house, that godly man. All these books. Are all these books about God? That man said, yeah. Have you read them? Almost all of them. Pete Maravich said, I heard him quote it, I wish I'd have read books about God. All I ever did was play basketball. Whoa! There it is. Now he hungered after the right thing. Didn't live much longer. God took him home. Play that one before the world. Hey, Steph Curry. I like Steph. I like how he carries himself. I'd say, Steph, tell him about Jesus. Live for the glory of God. Let him look at your life and say, there's something bigger. Bigger. It's not what he lives for. He lives for God. He wants to know the living God. This is eternal life, that you would know him, right? You would know the living God. You would know the one true God in Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. Wise men store up knowledge. You store it up. Some of y'all take notes. Some of you have your own. But store it up. Hang on to it. I'm not just talking about putting it on shelves. I'm talking about putting it in your hearts and your lives. The treasury of it. Chapter 18, verse 15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge. The mind of the prudent. King James probably reads that with the heart. And the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Now, let's just break that down. The mind acquires knowledge, the learning, instruction. And the ear, or the listening, is seeking for knowledge, understanding. Isn't that beautiful? Again, there's a hunger for it. There's an appetite, and it grows. I understand that's not the same appetite every day. Right, Pat? I mean, Monday, Tuesday may not have the same appetite. We just keep feasting on the Lord. Keep reading his word. Michael's last 30 days have not all been exactly the same. He's had a hunger, and some days he's had a hunger that he's saying, Lord, more, more, more. There's some days you're saying, Lord, open my heart, my eyes. Draw me now. Quicken me according to thy word. But the point is, you're longing for it. You esteem it. You treasure it. We can see that in so many ways of your life. What you're about, what you listen to, what you love to put in. We are what we put in, beloved. The statement that somebody made to my wife years and years ago, if I come to your house and open your refrigerator or look on your coffee table, your books, what you read, and what you eat, I can pretty much tell what you're about. Now, that's a kind of a scary statement. Might want to hide those fruit snacks or those pastries or whatever. I'm kidding. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You can have a fruit snack to the glory of God. But you don't want to read fruit snack type stuff. You want to read and be edified in what is truth. You want to esteem the knowledge that comes from the great God and Savior. Listen to this last verse on this characteristic. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Happy. We tend to, that word gets to be so trite in day-to-day living. But happy, joyful, overflowing is the man that finds wisdom. It's like, yes, more understanding on this. More knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Help me. Open my eyes. Let me. David's writing, open my eyes, I may behold wonderful things out of your law. That's David saying that. He was like us. He was like us. He needed God. This man was writing the scriptures, but he was daily longing for more of God. So characteristic number four, the wise man esteems or hungers after knowledge. Yes, they're teachable and they're correctable, but they're feeding themselves in the things of God. Characteristic number five, a wise man restrains his words. A wise man restrains his words. My granddad comes back into my mind. You sit there and listen. No telling what he was thinking of two teenage grandsons, my brother and I. He was just probably thinking I was like them. Not that we were being vulgar or anything like that with it, just we were just teenagers. We had funny things, laughed at funny things, did funny things, goofy things, silly things, immature things. But he was a man who restrained. What he wouldn't do is overstate things. He wouldn't over-communicate things or try to get, because it, right? In the multitude of words, there what? Wanteth not sin. In too many words, it stirs things up. This is a profound principle right here. That a wise person, you brothers and sisters, restraining or being careful with words is good. It's protective. Oh my, marriages, friendships, business acquaintances. Words can cause trouble. And a wise person knows that. Be careful. Men that are walking in wisdom guard what they say. And when they do say something, it has profit to it. It has substance. It can help others. In some ways, you want to be later in the conversation, you would be the one to finally speak. Lloyd-Jones would teach those young Christian or those Christian men, some of those men newer in the faith when he was pastoring in Sandfields, that's 10 years he was there, and he would have those times with them, and they would put a truth or a topic out there, and he would let them share and talk and give their angle, and he would listen, let them talk. And then he would try to then speak to them. He'd kind of summarize, and he would really distill down great truths for those men. That marked me or helped me. It just really impacted me when I read that many years ago. He who restrains his lips is wise. Chapter 10, verse 19. 10, verse 19. He who restrains his lips is wise. You remember the passage about that the fool utters everything at the beginning. Just everything. But even a fool, when he is quiet, is what? Considered wise. Because they're guarding. If just a guard could protect so much damage it's done. So restraining of the lips, restraining of too many words. Chapter 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. Oh, that's a picture. Thrusting a sword. Who speaks rashly like Peter. Whack! Peter, put that thing up. But sometimes we take a sword and we speak. We hurt people. I've told it. I was real candid with y'all a few years ago in my yearly wrap-up. I think that's when I shared about my trying to learn with my oldest child, my son, to put up my sword. Be careful. Be careful with my words. I'm still learning these things. Be careful. The thrust of a sword is speaking rashly. Contrast, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Wow, the Lord Jesus. Peter, put up your sword. Puts the ear of the guy's ear back on his head. Wow, what a picture of what good words. Words that can bring healing. So this thing of rashness versus patience. Too many words versus limited words. You get it. You understand. Probably all of you now, in our own way, would want to crawl under the chair. Because we're like, I make this mistake. I say too much. I had a funny, not funny at the time, but an event in the last month on a big, big pursuit in our work. And one of the brothers, and he's sharp. And I was trying to get him on the same page as with our team as we were getting ready for the interview. And I mean, I was trying, all right, well, this is what we're about to do. And so I was dialed in. There might have been a part of me y'all would have looked at and said, "Woo, Philip is really dialed in here." But I wasn't cruel or anything, but I just was real. And later, after the interview and all, I went to him and said, "Brother, I think I was too hard on you. I was trying to do too much. I'm sorry, forgive me." He's stunned him. It's stunned him, really, that was important enough to go back over it. I said, "Well, it's just our heart has to be right with each other. We want to bring healing and help." Proverbs 17:28, "He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Wow. Whoa. He that guards. Just be careful. Providence House, this is a new assignment for this week. Less words. Less words, guys. 50% less right now. Ryan, you got to monitor this. You audit this house this week. 50% less. You go over 50%, we're coming in. We're going to come see you. I'm kidding, right? But too many words, it stirs up trouble. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So, beloved, this fifth point, and I'll move on. A wise man is guarded with his words. Careful. Be careful. Characteristic number six. This is the positive side. This is the guarded side. A wise man speaks in wisdom. What they have can really, truly edify and build up others. So one is to be careful with words, guarded, limited, especially too much words. We have so many mediums of words today. The wise man or the wise woman picks their spots and they speak in wisdom. Chapter 12, verse 18, "The tongue of the wise is health." You could have a lot of men, Brother Michael, that could say, "When I would sit with Brother Conrad, I walked away healthier." Wait a minute. Is that guy, the nobody down there in Bentley, Louisiana? Yeah, that guy. You mean not in one of these big cities and these hotshot corporate guys? Yeah, that's right. The guy, a nobody down in Bentley, Louisiana. That's the guy that built me up and helped me. I'm telling you, men of the world, it blows them away when you say, or those things are real in your own life. Who are you talking about? Radio talk show? No. I'm talking about a guy that walks with God in Bentley, Louisiana. The tongue of the wise is health. One time when Krista was with the early years of our church, and he pulled her aside, and she could tell you in her own words what that meant to her, what he just said to her. You talk about giving health, spiritual health and life. It's good medicine. Chapter 13, verse 14. "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death." The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. It's protective to others. You may pick up an exhortation or an admonition secondhand. It's being given to somebody else. And it sticks with you and it protects you. It guards you. It causes you to turn aside from the snares of death. Turn away. Because a word that's spoken with wisdom and reality that God uses in your life. Chapter 15, verse 2. "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable." Makes it authentic. It validates it. The tongue of the wise. I mean, it's... You want input from people who have the knowledge, the wisdom, the experience, right? That's why young people should talk to married people if you want to talk about marriage. They don't have to compare notes single to single. I know that's fairly practical, but think about that. Ask others who are married. You want to find out in your career and what it, where it might go and path and all, talk to somebody who's been there. Just, it's practical in growing in grace. In the tongue, can you, are you one who speaks that to others? Can you make knowledge true and helpful to them? Chapter 15, verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. It's like they're almost casting seed. The old TV commercial, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When God speaks, when His Word, and with others who walk with Him, when they speak it, it's just giving health, right? It's giving truth. It's turning you from this, and it's turning you to this. You, beloved, you do these same things. We're talking about each of us having that opportunity, the privilege to walk with the Lord and speak in a way that spreads knowledge and truth. So six, a wise man does speak, but it has value. There are not too many words, but really the best of words, if you put it that way. Theirs are the best. And characteristic number seven, the wise man turns from evil. They process or they walk in what they've learned and what they're learning in God, in Christ, and they turn from evil. We have all these truths in this person in Christ Jesus and how they're going. It's instructing them and guarding them from evil. They practice what they've heard, put it that way. When Sinclair Ferguson told that story about the two daughters of the King of England, and they were going to some event, and they were maybe late teenagers, and the king was preparing them, and they were going, and as I remember the story, Sinclair saying, he turned to his daughters and he said, "Remember, girls, royal manners for royal girls," meaning walk in the right way, walk in an honorable way. A wise man turns from evil. A wise man and a woman are being instructed and they're receiving it and it's being planted. They're storing it away and therefore they choose or make decisions what to stay away from. They're intentional about it. None of us in this room, unless they're passing out tracts, none of us needs to be down here at the square at midnight or 1 a.m. Nobody. Got it? Nobody's on the police force in this room. Nobody. Not even Brother Baker. Nobody needs to be down there at midnight or 1. Not anything happening down there that's going to help anybody at midnight or 1 o'clock. It's dangerous. I don't have to go talk to the Denton Police Department about that. I understand it. I understand. This square has transformed since I was young. There's a lot of debauchery that's going on down there. Right, Pat? They know it. Fry Street moved from that Fry Street at UNT to this square. It's wretched. They need to be saved. It's not the place to go hang out with people at 1 a.m. I'm just being real dogmatic here. I sound like a dad, don't I? It's not a place to go. Why? Because it's darkness. A wise person turns away. You can go to the square at sometimes, but it just don't need to be there at 1 a.m. You get my point. I'm just emphasizing like Paul Washer will do in his own way. What do we stay away from? There's certain things in business activities. I've shared a few of these with Ian or with Pat. There's certain things in my career. I just don't do them in my career. I don't go there. Everybody knows that. He doesn't do that. Phil doesn't do that. Because I have to walk in the wisdom of God. I have to be careful. You have to know what to turn away from. A wise man is planting in it and walking in it. And so a wise person stays away. They do so intentionally. Chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is arrogant and careless. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. Being very, very careful. Sometimes you may be out and you may be going to a place. You may have a... And you'll just sense the spirit of this place, this whole atmosphere, this is not right. I don't need to be here. You're free. You're commanded in the Holy Spirit to walk in that with Him. Walk away. Turn away. Make a different choice. Be careful. You may have to slip out of place. I was having a salad by myself in a place a few blocks from my work the other day, and things erupted. A lady came into the store and became confrontational and confronted the manager, and it got really out of control in a hurry. People came from the back kitchen screaming, talking at the top of their lungs, in a restaurant. And I'm looking there. I kind of know that who that manager is. And I thought, there's nothing I can do now to help solve this. I need to slip away. This thing could elevate. Somebody could pull a handgun. It was that volatile at that moment. A guy that was at the counter, I walked out the door. He turned from the counter. He said, "I got to get out of here." He was scared. I'm just giving more of an exaggerated picture. There are things in our society. It's a very volatile day. A lot of anger. A lot of get even attitudes. We have to be careful. Man is cautious and turns away from evil. Brothers, there's vain things. There's fleshly things. There's immoral things. You've got to turn away from all of it. Can't walk down that path. Can't go there. As David would say, "But as for me, this is the way I'm going." In chapter 13, verse 20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Oh, Tom and others in prisons and going in will suffer harm. Could we not write pages and pages of what those kinds of men have said through the years? He who walks with wise men will be wise. It's a proclamation. It's a truth that God gives that He promises. Not it might turn out. You might be a little bit better. Oh, Bentley camps, they're okay. Fellowship conferences, being together with God's people. Yeah, they're okay. They do a few things for me. No. It builds you in the faith. But a companion of fools guaranteed will suffer harm. That's what God says. So the wise man, the wise woman, esteems or cherishes the others that walk in wisdom. Let me wind this down. Are you teachable? Do you walk in the way of honor? Do you walk in the truths that God's put in you? Do you receive correction? Do you esteem or do you long or hunger for knowledge, understanding? Are you careful with words? What to protect? But when you do speak, can you impart that which is healthy and edifying? And last, does the truth of God shape you, mark you, guide you to avoid evil? That's at least as a quick look. Those are the marks of the wise one, the ones that walk with God. Any questions before I pray? To walk in wisdom. Amen. Get wisdom with all you're getting. Get it. Know Christ. Know the truth. Walk in that. No questions? Anybody? All right. I'll pray. Father, thank you for your word. This truth of wisdom. Lord, we think of in the bigger flow of Scripture, the wisdom of God, the truth of that, the absolute perfect wisdom that comes from you, the wisdom, the treasury of wisdom in Jesus Christ. Lord, what reality. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we, by the grace of your work in our lives, can walk in wisdom. We can know wisdom, that you'll give it. You've said for us to seek it, to run after it, and to cherish it, to esteem it, and to tuck it into our lives, hide it in our hearts. We pray you'd help the saints today, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being together and being under your word. Lead us in worship. Help us to sing with joy and thanksgiving. Help us today, Lord, in all ways to magnify your name in Christ. Amen. Amen.